Jeff Claybaugh will explain it.
The latest on a local school controversy over the handling of two sexual assaults.
Loudoun County School Board sues to stop the special grand jury. I'm Neil Augenstein.
Another call for the feds to take a hard look at a high-profile police shooting here. I'm John Aaron.
4 o'clock.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Here's your warning. If you invest in the markets, may want to skip looking at your money, honey. As we entered into bear territory today, at the close, though, it appears we just averted it. The S&P index is down 3,900.67.
A bear market is defined by a major average falling 20% from its recent high, and that's where the S&P 500 is today after weeks of heavy selling from its high of 4,793 in early January. The Dow Jones isn't quite there yet. But the NASDAQ has been in bear territory for a while, down over 30% from its all-time high.
Business reporter Jason Brooks. Day one of President Biden's Asian tour. CBS News White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy with what's on the agenda.
This trip is aimed at strengthening economic and security ties with U.S. allies in the region. And the president's first stop was a Samsung semiconductor plant.
This is an auspicious start to my visit.
The facility Mr. Biden toured is similar to a $17 billion plant Samsung is now building in Texas. And the president says it's all part of a supply chain strategy.
Secure more of what we need from our allies and partners and bolster our supply chain resilience.
Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, with the president in Seoul.
Gas prices continue to rise, and Gas Buddy's Patrick DeHaan says you won't get a break anytime soon.
Everyone is obsessed with the price of oil. You could have oil be a dollar a barrel, and if there's only one refinery in the nation, you could theoretically have gasoline at $10 a gallon. And so right now we're kind of in the equation where there's not enough refining capacity to meet demand, and so prices have gone up.
The search for baby formula is still a dire one. Here's CBS's Michael George.
It's not just parents of infants who are desperate for these supplies. 8-year-old Izzy Bradford suffers from a rare metabolic disorder and relies on prescription formula for about 70% of her nutrition.
In a long term, not having the formula would result in permanent brain damage.
She and her mother are frightened of what will happen if they run out of supplies.
Relief is on the way. Shipments from Europe are en route to the U.S. A daycare tragedy in Tennessee.
A 1-year-old child has died after being found inside a hot vehicle outside a daycare center on the north side of Memphis, Tennessee. Daniel Smith's son attends the facility.
I trust him, but I don't know what happened, though. It's a tragedy, though. I don't know how that happened, though. And it's sad, though.
Police say a worker forgot to get the child, who spent about 6 hours in the vehicle in 90-degree temperatures. Jim Krasulis, CBS News.
On Wall Street, S&P 500 just avoiding closing in bear territory, actually up a point. This is CBS News.
Never miss a moment. Top news from WTOP, 24/7, 365. Listen on air, on Alexa, and on the WTOP app.
Well, hello there. It is 4:03, and we are so glad you're with us on this Friday. We're happy it's Friday, May the 20th, 83 degrees. I'm Hillary Howard.
And I'm Sean Anderson. Our top story this hour focuses on your money in the markets. And wow, what a day. Stocks took a steep dive earlier, briefly falling into bear market territory, only to make a dramatic recovery in the final hour of trading. Let's get the closing numbers and an explanation from WTOP's Jeff Claybaugh.
Sean, let's go ahead and put a good spin on it. The Dow actually rallied more than 600 points. If you consider the fact it was down 617 at its low and finished the day up 9 points, the S&P 500 index managed a modest 1-point gain. The NASDAQ still finished the day down 34 points, but it was not a good week. The Dow lost 2.9% this week. The S&P 500 index down 3.5%. The NASDAQ down a little more than 3.5%. This is a seventh straight losing week for the S&P 500 index, and that is the longest stretch of weekly losses since the dot-com boom. Sean, Hillary.
All righty, thank you, Jeff. Now to a story first reported by WTOP. A special grand jury will investigate the way Loudoun County handled two high-profile sex assaults at two high schools. The state's attorney general was directed to do this by Governor Glenn Youngkin, who made it a key campaign issue last year. But Loudoun County schools are pushing back in court.
The Loudoun County School Board is suing the state and Attorney General Jason Meares. The suit seeks a temporary injunction against any further actions by the special grand jury that's been convened. It says Governor Youngkin's executive order went beyond his authority, and the use of the special grand jury is unlawful. It says Youngkin's executive order was a fishing expedition, and the special grand jury is intended for criminal matters, not policy issues. Some of the records and testimony subpoenaed have involved LCPS transgender policy and Facebook posts. In Loudoun County, Neil Augenstein, WTOP News.
A spokeswoman for Meares tells WTOP the investigation will continue. A spokeswoman for the governor says it's troubling the board doesn't want to cooperate. She asks, quote, what are they hiding? Neil gets into the nitty-gritty details of this controversial story on today's episode of the DMV Download. That's the WTOP podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcast.
D.C. has stopped frequent COVID updates on its health website. The city's health director says workers are just too stressed to handle it.
D.C.'s health director has responded to a request from the D.C. Council to investigate why the health department didn't update COVID-19 data to the CDC for almost 2 weeks. Starting back on April 27th, D.C. Health Director Dr. LaQuandra Nesbitt said that they have been providing manual and automated reports to the CDC. She said for those 2 weeks, manual reporting to the CDC was stopped, but she said it's now back to regular reporting. The council also requested that D.C. Health increase the frequency of its posts on its own website. Dr. Nesbitt said they won't be changing the frequency, citing in her letter, public health worker burnout. Valerie Bonk, WTOP News.
All right, it's about to get pretty hot this weekend. We're talking about dangerous weather here. Do you know the signs of heat stroke?
You're in trouble. It's an emergency when you have red, hot, dry skin with no sweat, a rapid, strong pulse, feel dizzy or confusion, and have an oral temperature greater than 103.
Get to the closest emergency room or dial 911.
Dr. Jason Singh with Kaiser Permanente says to avoid getting sick from the heat, seek shade, take breaks, stay hydrated, and avoid caffeine and alcohol. Also,
don't rely on your fan as your primary cooling device, because fans create an airflow and that gives you a false sense of comfort. They actually do not reduce your body temperatures.
Christy King, WTOP News.
Stay with us on WTOP after traffic and weather. President Biden begins his first trip to Asia as commander-in-chief. Meantime, a new poll shows rough seas for him at home. We'll talk to Washington Week moderator Yamiche Alcindor. It is 4:07.
Cancer doesn't ring the doorbell when it shows up. The Inova Seville Cancer Screening and Prevention Center, the first facility of its kind in the DMV, screens for common cancers, including lung, skin, prostate, and breast cancer that may not be showing signs. Because cancer often arrives without calling first, visit inova.org